Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, March 20, 2017. South Sudan commercial airline crashed in Wau today.
It goes banned totally. You can't distinguish between the band of air travel and the person. They were there. People are there still. It is still getting banned totally.
And South Sudan's presidential spokesman denies the government bought weapons after famine was declared in parts of the country.
The right of South Sudan to defend itself like any other sovereign country in the world, even those who manufacture guns. They are manufacturing guns in an attempt to be bought and sold by countries who wanted to protect their territorial integrity.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Eyewitnesses say dozens of people are still missing after a commercial South Sudanese plane en route from Juba crashed in Wau this afternoon. An aircraft engineer at Wau Airport says the South Spring Airlines jet crashed as it was descending toward Wau Airport. Tito Justin has more for VOA from Juba.
The manifest of the South Sudanese plane says 45 people were on board, including 5 crew members, before it crashed. Aircraft engineer Paul Charles, who works at Wau Airport, says the plane's pilot lost direction during bad weather when it was descending. Charles says he saw 20 people have survived the crash.
It goes burned totally. You can't distinguish between the band of air travel and the person. They were there. People are there still. It is still getting burned totally. Some of them, about 15, were injured, and some, at least 5, have got safety totally. Nothing happened to them.
Charles says visibility was low and the pilot could not see well while trying to land. Charles says the pilot hit a damaged truck outside of the airport runway.
The weather is not clear. Visibility is a problem at the same time. So that's why it gets crashed. The pilot, I think, was not seeing well. He was not seeing runway well.
South Supreme Airline Manager Gabriel Ngang confirms one of its planes crashed with 45 passengers and crew on board. Speaking in Arabic, a Supreme Airlines representative, Santo Deng, also confirmed that 45 people were on board the plane.
According to the information we have, there were 40 people on board. What have been rescued are 21. But it's not accurate, and I am not sure about it, but we will see with the hospital authorities and compare it with the list we have. The details of all these will be provided by our team in Juba, because they had the list of those who were on board. The officer in our branch in Wau will request a full report from Juba, and we will know how many people were in the list, and how many women or children were on board.
Wau State Information Minister Bona Gaudencio says the injured were rushed to Wau Hospital.
Yeah, now we are just receiving those operations, and then after 2 hours, 1 hour, we'll just give information through the media.
Paul says Wau Airport does not have a light system for pilots to fly in foul weather. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
A confidential UN expert report says the South Sudanese government bought weapons while the country faces famine. This as thousands of South Sudanese refugees continue to flee the fighting across the border into neighboring countries like Uganda. South Sudanese military officials from the Procurement and Logistics Department reportedly leaked information about the Kiir administration's weapon purchased. South Sudan's presidential spokesman Ateny Wek Ateny tells VOA's Peter Kloti the allegations are not true.
The government of South Sudan has not purchased any weapons since 2013, and that the right of South Sudan to defend itself like any other sovereign country in the world, even those who manufacture guns, they are manufacturing guns in an attempt to be bought and sold by countries who wanted to protect their territorial integrity. But South Sudan is not buying weapons. That's one. Number two, the issue is completely mixed. If the United Nations is willing to help the people of South Sudan, because what is causing famine in South Sudan is not a man-made, but is because there is a war here, which, of course, people can call it a man-made. But the most of this is simply because the rains did not fall in many places.
The information of the purchase of the weapons came from the logistics and procurement department of the army, which leaked the report that indeed South Sudan bought ammunition, and that led to several officers arrested and being punished for that matter.
No, I actually said categorically clear that South Sudan has never purchased any weapons since 2013, period. However, if there are weapons that were paid for before 2013 and then the delivery came later on, then is there for anybody to talk about. But South Sudan does not purchase any weapons. We don't need it.
So why is the government on one hand saying there's no conflict going on, yet the government is also insisting there's conflict going on? The SPLM or IOC says its position has been attacked, and that the fact that the government has purchased weapons is part of the plan to attack its positions.
First of all, you know, the IO is under Ndengai, who is the first vice president of the republic. And those who are not with Ndengai are just, you know, scattered bandits who are only capable of causing havoc and targeting civilians whenever there is the civilian convoy from the border of South Sudan to Juba, or from the capital city Juba to other towns. The real SPLM IO is implementing peace agreement with us. And so those bandits who are causing havoc are still causing havoc, of course, to civilians. But as the president has launched the national dialogue, we cannot do both at the same time to go for operations, go against them, so that we flush them out of their hiding places, and at the same time sit and do a national reconciliation or a national dialogue.
Talking about national dialogue, why hasn't the president offered or extended that olive branch to Dr. Riek Machar to be part of the national dialogue? President Museveni in neighboring Uganda has called for a dialogue to end the ongoing conflict in South Sudan, which is generating thousands and thousands of refugees crossing the border and going to Uganda.
The government of South Sudan is not on offensive because we want to give time, you know, to those who are actually causing havoc to come and participate in a process of national dialogue. That's one. Riek Machar has been synonymous with the violence. Calling Riek Machar to national dialogue without any free condition for him to renounce violence, that will be a fatal mistake. And people of South Sudan will look to President Salva Kiir as somebody who is trying to perpetuate fighting. So that is why we thought Riek Machar should only come to the national dialogue when he renounced violence.
People who have resigned from the government have said Salva Kiir is to blame for the violence and that he is the one who has a militia that is targeting other ethnic groups and trying to wipe other minority ethnic groups out.
He's absolutely rubbish because Salva Kiir is the commander-in-chief of the Sudan People Liberation Army. And Sudan People Liberation Army is a national army that is protecting the sovereignty of Republic of South Sudan, regardless of who is the rebel, whether the rebel come from whichever tribe, 64 tribe in South Sudan, the national army deal with them, not on basis of tribe, but on the basis of the fact that they are outlawed and they are trying to challenge the sovereignty of Republic of South Sudan. The defected gurus who just defect, they have defected, and therefore they have to say a lot of nonsense to try to substantiate their point. President Salva Kiir doesn't own militia because he's a commander-in-chief.
That's presidential spokesman Atenue Kateny speaking to VOA's Peter Claudi from Juba earlier today. The International Crisis Group says the African Union, under the leadership of Fakih Mohamad, the newly elected chairperson of the African Union Commission, can strengthen the organization's response to threats to peace and security in South Sudan by increasing pressure on the South Sudanese officials to end the fighting. A senior analyst at the International Crisis Group tells Ayen Bior that the African Union should also urge the Kiir administration to lay the groundwork for establishing a hybrid court.
And where AU comes in is really in a support role to what IGAD, which are South Sudan's immediate neighbors, are trying to do. South Sudan's neighbors are both peacemakers, but also intimately involved in the conflict. So there is a role for an organization like the EU, or like the AU, to undertake what they've agreed to do, which is some shuttle diplomacy, trying to work with the region, trying to get the region to invest a little bit more in trying to resolve some of South Sudan's myriad internal conflicts.
A lot of critics that I've spoken to have said that the African Union so far has been unable to establish a hybrid court.
That criticism is a little bit unfair to the African Union, to be honest. The peace agreement that was signed between the government and this large opposition grouping called for the establishment of a hybrid court with the transitional government of South Sudan and the African Union. So the African Union can only move as quickly as the transitional government moves. So right now what we're seeing is this broader question of, does the transitional government have an interest in forming this court? And I think there are certain aspects of the government that would be interested, others that are less interested and see it as potentially dangerous or destabilizing, this sort of peace versus justice type of debate very much going on in Juba right now. So the AU can only move as far as the transitional government is, but it has taken steps to prepare itself for a time when the transitional government may accept moving forward on the court.
In what I'm reading from the ICG, it says that the AU or Mr. Faki should ensure that preliminary work is done. What exactly do you guys mean by that?
For the court to be formed, they would need to have a memorandum of understanding with the transitional government. Then there will need to be a host of legal instruments that say, you know, what is the court's mandate? What crimes does it cover? What time period does it cover? A whole host of things like this. And, of course, that requires the African Union then to have legal counsel on hand for them to have a sense of what, because the African Union has never done a hybrid court in this way either. So it will be a whole set of new activities for them, considering staffing plans, looking at who could help support funding. So there are a whole lot of sort of bureaucratic and administrative things that need to be done and should be done. So if there is an opportunity to move forward on the court, the African Union can jump at the opportunity.
And what are some of the other recommendations that you have for South Sudan that the AU should do?
So we'd really like to see the AU play a bigger role in working with the Horn of Africa region, this IGAD grouping, to help South Sudan move forward. They have a peace agreement. They have a national dialogue process. We have ongoing other negotiations with different groups. And to really help the transitional government in the IGAD region attempt to put a little bit more coherency to this and to see if some of these ideas and some of these activities can be shaped and molded in ways that might lead to more peace on the ground for the civilians in the country.
That's Kasi Copeland, a senior analyst at the International Crisis Group, speaking to Ayen Bior from London earlier today. An armed group in Yei River State, led by Colonel John Data, is negotiating a peace deal with the state government. A delegation comprised of four officials is in Yei to follow up on a deal signed with Yei River State officials earlier this month. Daniel Friday-Martin reports for VOA from Yei.
Yei River County Commissioner Dennis Lasoba says the state officials and an armed group operating in Yei River State reached a framework agreement earlier this month in the Ugandan capital, Kampala. Lasoba says the armed group and Yei River State officials agreed to end the fighting that continues around the state and join the national dialogue President Kiir announced late last year that is supposed to begin sometime this month. The four-member delegation arrived last Friday in Yei to meet with Governor David Lokonga Moses and other officials to talk about how to implement the deal. Lasoba says the warring parties agreed that the dialogue was the only way to achieve peace.
Kendila Primary School, which is 5 miles Morobu Kajokeji Road, to be the assembling point. A team to be led by Colonel John Data to visit Yei River State within a week's time as a gesture of commitment to dialogue and to assure the government of Yei River State that they are for peace.
Lasoba says the two sides also agreed to take part in the national dialogue. Armed opposition group leader Colonel John Data thanked the state officials for welcoming his group to Yei. Speaking in Arabic, Data says he is committed to ending the conflict.
I want to thank God, and I am happy that this meeting had taken place. From today, our national flag will fly high. This is our land, and we are brothers and sisters. We should not take the country in a wrong direction.
Bishop Elias Taban of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, mediated a peace deal. He confirms the armed group agreed to end the conflict during the negotiations.
We also resolved that it is useless to continue fighting. We need to lay down arms. They are convinced beyond doubt that they will respect the declaration of the president, Salva Kiir Mayardit, for national dialogue, and they are ready to dialogue because they have experienced the pain of our people in the camps.
Bishop Taban says the armed group made clear that it wants to be represented at all levels of government in the country. He believes the armed group and the government can work together if they forgive each other. For his part, Yeh River State Governor David Lokonga Moses says he is ready to implement the resolutions of the agreement.
The president have announced that there must be an amnesty and cessation of hostilities. A series of meetings that have been discussed and some areas have been agreed upon for immediate implementation of the cessation of hostility.
Governor Lokonga says he is convinced that the grassroots dialogue President Kiir talked about is already happening in Yeh. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yeh.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudan donates food for people who are hungry in South Sudan. Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's the best advice you would give to a child?
The best advice I can give to a child, more especially here in Africa, is that we need to work hard in class and we need to be focused on our future, what we can be after finishing our education.
Best advice I would give is to follow each and everything that the guardian advises him or her.
I think to be disciplined and try to work as hard as possible in his education. And even be very practical, actually, because what we are living in today, people will get very a long way forward when they are very practical.
Working hard, being persistent, yeah. Because the way Uganda is at this point, we have to work hard. We have to be so persistent on what we like.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The regional bloc, IGAD, is scheduled to hold a summit in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, this week. The summit will discuss refugees and security in Somalia. For VOA News, Muhammad Yusuf has more from Nairobi.
The Kenya State House spokesperson Manoa Esipusu says the repatriation of Somali refugees will be the main agenda item at the summit.
It will focus largely on the questions of Somali refugees and creating of a conducive environment in their own country so that they can feel safe to go back and contribute to their country's development as well as their country's growth.
Kenya planned to shut the Dadaab refugee camp by the end of May. Dadaab is home to more than 300,000 refugees, most of them Somalis. tens of thousands have already returned to Somalia. Humanitarian agencies are currently struggling to save lives in Somalia, where more than 6 million people in need of assistance because of drought and insurgent attacks. The aid agencies warn if nothing is done, the crisis in Somalia may become worse than the 2011 famine. The United Nations estimates more than 17 million people in need of humanitarian assistance in East Africa. The region also faces security challenges. South Sudan is struggling with civil conflict and famine, and Burundi has been stuck in a political crisis for 2 years. Isipusu says the leaders at the summit will discuss the situation in those countries and the political uncertainty in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Regional security is a matter that world leaders have expressed concern in and want Kenya to remain in the pivotal role in terms of tackling these matters.
IGAD has been criticized for being unable to end the South Sudan conflict. The leaders in East Africa also have failed to bring Burundi's political rivals to the negotiating table. George Musumali, the director of the Center for Risk Management in Africa, says the meeting will achieve little.
These meetings have been going on for quite some time, and nothing much has come out of them. Because at the end of the day, they will talk, and then the solutions will always be looking for funding from donor countries. IGAD does not have capacity to deal with these internal conflicts within the region.
As the region copes with drought, food insecurity, and political instability, many Eastern Africans will be watching to see if their leaders have solutions to end their suffering. Mohammed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
The Sudanese government has donated some 15 tons of emergency relief items to support South Sudanese communities affected by famine and conflict. Sudan's Deputy Health Minister led an official delegation to Juba last week to assess the humanitarian needs in South Sudan so Khartoum can provide more food and medicine in the coming days. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Juba.
Sudan's Deputy Health Minister Sumaya Idris Ukut told reporters at Juba International Airport on Thursday that rice, sorghum, and other food items are being delivered to South Sudanese communities in need. Speaking in Arabic, Ukut also said medicine and other medical supplies are also being airdropped to needy community.
This is the first phase of the relief items that we brought to Juba, and we brought these items with solidarity with the Afro-Arab Council. This is our sisterly solidarity with our people in South Sudan. There are many humanitarian convoys that are expected to come from Sudan.
Ukut says more humanitarian aid will be delivered by road.
We are here to recommit ourselves as the government and the people to give our hands to our brothers in South Sudan during this moment so that they can have peace and stability. We hope South Sudan will soon overcome this situation, and we know that you are capable of doing that in the shortest time possible.
South Sudan Health Minister Ria Guy Cox says South Sudanese officials have identified some corridors that the Sudanese government can use to deliver humanitarian aid to food insecure areas beside roads.
Items that are coming through the road to northern Bargazel and then northern Upper Nile and to Unity States. This is one track. The other track is the government of Sudan also has given permission to international organizations and especially the WFP to buy food from Sudan and ferry it to South Sudan in all ways, either by road, by rivers, or even through airdropping, if need be.
Guy says Sudan is also helping other international aid organizations deliver urgently needed food and medicine to South Sudanese the fastest way possible.
What do we need most, and even where do we need as a priority, so that we also resolve the question of logistics instead of bringing things to Juba and then take them back again to where they are needed.
Minister Ukut says civil society organizations and humanitarian agencies in Sudan have formed a national humanitarian committee headed by the former Sudanese president Abdurrahman Sowore Dahab to collect more relief items for South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. A plane that was carrying more than 40 people has crashed in the South Sudanese city of Wau. An aircraft engineer at Wau Airport, Paul Charles, told this program that the plane tried to land in bad weather today and hit a damaged truck on the side of the runway. Paul Charles said visibility is a problem at the center, so that's why it crashed. The pilot, I think, was not seeing the runway well. He says the plane burst into flames after the crash and that only 20 people appear to have survived. Wau State Information Minister Bona Gaudenzio gave no casualty figures, but says the injured were rushed to Wau Hospital. The South Supreme Airlines plane was en route to Wau from Juba. Airline manager Gabriel Geneg confirmed the plane crash and says he believes there were 45 people on board. A confidential UN expert reports that the South Sudanese government bought weapons while the country faces famine. This as thousands of South Sudanese refugees continue to flee across the border into neighboring countries, including Uganda. South Sudanese military officials from the Procurement and Logistics Department reportedly leaked information about the Kiir administration's weapons purchase, but the South Sudanese presidential spokesman, Ateni Wekateni, denied the allegations. And finally, an armed group in Yei River State, led by Colonel John Data, is negotiating a peace deal with state government officials. A delegation comprised of four officials in Yei Town is following up on the deal that it signed with Yei River state officials earlier this month. Yei River County Commissioner Dennis Lasuba says state officials and the armed group operating in Yei River State reached the framework agreement earlier this month in the Ugandan capital, Kampala. Lasuba says the armed group and Yei River officials agreed to end fighting that continues around the state and join the national dialogue that President Salva Kiir announced late last year, which is supposed to begin sometime this month. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Monday. We'll leave you with the song Anna Guide by Crazy Fox. We have been listening to Crazy Fox with the song Anna Guy. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
One man walk with Kylian, say, I'm my mama, she may have my mama.